Well, for those of you who are worshiping by means of our internet, streaming with us, that handout that was mentioned about Advent devotionals, we'd love for you to write a devotional too, and we're going to make that handout available on our website so that you can get the suggestions and be a part of that. And for all of you, we've got word in after all the stuff was printed, that next week is United Methodist Men's Breakfast, but we have the speaker. Those of you who follow sports know that both Deschler and Muscle Shoals were region champs, were going on to the state, and there's others in the area that are going on to the state. But we have next week the head coach of Deschler, Coach Martin, who's going to be sharing not about the football team, but about his faith journey at United Methodist Men. So pass that on to the men and invite some to join you. So here's a question for this morning. If Tuscumbia First United Methodist Church closed its doors tomorrow, would the majority in the Shoals area even notice? Think about it. If this church closed its doors tomorrow, would the majority of the people in the greater Shoals area even take notice? Every year at annual conference, some churches close. And this past year, Glenn Connor and I were talking. Glenn is now the pastor at Huntsville First United Methodist Church. But he was raised in the old Muscle Shoals Church. He was cultivated in the faith. He accepted the call to preach and was affirmed in that church. And that church and its predecessor, the Summit, was officially closed at annual conference. And I heard him talk about the nurturing with joy, but the grief that he had in knowing it's no longer functioning as a church. And I wonder how many even paid much attention outside of a sign saying it's all for sale now. I was thinking about that and thinking back to the first time I had a church consultant come and work with one of the churches that I was serving. And I found it interesting when he was coming, he not only had these teams, committees in the church, individuals in the church based on position that he wanted to talk with, but he also wanted me to set up some interviews with people in the community who weren't part of the church and with some of the other pastors in the area. And he said that the reason he did that, he'd long time ago discovered that what the people in the church think about the church isn't necessarily what the community thinks about the church. That, and I've heard this from many consultants, most every church considers themselves to be loving and friendly and caring. And yet at the same time, they've watched many of those supposedly loving, caring communities close the door. Because they've turned inward and loving and caring one another, but they're not impacting the community around them. So what about us? If Tuscumbia First United Methodist Church were to close the doors tomorrow, would the majority of the Shoals area take notice? We're in this series about loving the church, and we saw last week that if we really love the church, we're to love one another. Because we're the church. It's not a building. It's not a program. We're the body of Christ together. And like a New Testament church, we're really to release our stuff, which is really God's stuff, and invest our resources and our time in other lives,
in the other believers' lives, building relationships, weeping with one another and rejoicing with one another. But the thing is, if we stop right there, we can become a social club, a community club that's all about us and forgets the world, and the Scriptures never intended that. Because if we really love our church, then we've got to love what God loves, and God loves the world. So here's the question for today. How do people hear, discover, and experience the amazing love of God? How do those outside these walls hear about, discover, and experience the amazing love of God? That's what our text addressed this morning. It comes from part of the Sermon on the Mount, the 5th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus uses two images that were very well known to people in that time and in our time too, about who we are as followers of Jesus. Because who's He speaking to in the Sermon on the Mount? He's speaking to the 12 that followed Him. He's speaking to that growing expansion of followers that going with Him wherever He went. And He's speaking to all these people who think they want to be followers, who are there to hear His teaching and out for some blessings for His life, but haven't really understood what it meant to be committed to Him. And so He's talking about the commitment. All of those. And He says to them, you are the salt of the earth. That's the first image He uses. You are the salt of the earth. Now, I like the way the Contemporary English Version reads. You are like salt for everyone on earth, not just for some, but for everyone. Or the Good News Translation, you are like salt for the whole human race. Jesus wants us to understand that we're to be salt, not simply to one another, but for the world, everyone, the whole human race. Now, what comes to your mind when you hear salt? Food? Kind of go together, don't they? I know some folks who do not sit down to the table without first asking, where's the salt shaker? And I got a daughter laughing because one of them is in her family. And if the salt's not on the table, he will make sure it gets on the table. They don't even taste it. They start salting beforehand. Why? Because they believe that salt adds flavor, and that's part of it, isn't it? Salt is a flavoring agent. I've talked to many people who've been put on a salt-free diet, and their problem in finding something to eat at that point is, man, it doesn't taste right anymore. And I'm not a big one who sits down and salts. Gina does enough of that already. Except if I have a baked potato, and if she hadn't already salted it, I will salt it. But I do like to have some salt on it. Tastes better. Adds flavor. Right? That's only one thing. Salt is also a preserving agent. We don't sense it in that much today. But in the time when Jesus spoke, it was more often used in that sense, because it preserved the food a long time before there was freezers and refrigerators, so that food could stick around. So Jesus is saying that as the salt, you're to add taste Remember the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. We are part of that taste. We're to add taste to our society. And we're to help preserve God's righteousness and holiness in society. We're to be that salt in our world. But then there's another image he uses here. You are the light of the world. Now we all understand that light breaks into darkness and helps us see. So Jesus said, you are the light that gives light to the world. You're the light that gives light to the world. Now, when Jesus spoke this word, many of the homes, the best they had would be a little candle or a little oil lamp. And if you were to take a candle like we have up here and put it off to the side, it's not going to give much light to a room, is it? A little oil lamp. It's not going to give much light. So how did they light up the room? They put it on a lampstand. So that lifted up, that light then begins to penetrate the darkness and brings light that reveals what's there. So Jesus says, you are that in the world. You're the one that brings light in the dark world around you that changes the atmosphere. You ever been in a dark room and just turn on a little flashlight and it changes everything? He says you're to be that person that changes the life around you. Now we know that Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness but will have the light of life. He is the true light. So you hear what he's saying to us? That if he's the light of the world, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he fills us with that light so that we become light. Notice he didn't say, you carry the light. He says, you are the light. That when he so possesses our lives, he changes us so that we become his light in the world. We are actually the light that reveals who Jesus is. Man, wow, think about that. What a responsibility and what a privilege. How much he trusts us that he's called us to be his salt and his light that adds flavor and light to others. Now, how do we do that? Well, not in our own selves, but in the power of his Spirit. Because see, when his Spirit comes upon us, he fills us with his fruit. Paul wrote of the fruit of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that as he fills our lives, he makes us that salt. He makes us that light. And it penetrates the world around us through us. I found this statement on these two images. As salt and light, we bring the taste and atmosphere of Jesus' kingdom to our world. That's what we're called to be. As we go into the community around us, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our school settings, we're to bring the taste and the atmosphere of Jesus' kingdom to those around us. How are you doing? Do those who associate with you on a regular basis get a taste of the kingdom, get an experience of his light and love and hope and grace? Now, that brings me to the next point. We cannot be salt and light staying in the church. Now, remember when we've been in this series, Love My Church, we've made the point that we're not talking about loving this building. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about the church. The church is you and me. The church is the people of God. The people of God, you and me. And so what I'm trying to say is that we can't be salt and light by just staying with church people. That just associate with other church people. In order to be salt and light, we've got to build relationships out in the community. Look at the scripture. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Well, if all we do is stay with church people, we're putting a basket over us. We're not being the light to the community. If all of our relationships are with other church people, we're about as well put a basket over us because we're not making a light that appears in the community, in our neighborhoods and all. We're to share that. Leighton Ford was an associate with the Billy Graham Association when he wrote the book, Good News is for Sharing. And one of the images he uses is of a bridge. He said, bridges are for traveling, and so we're to build bridges with undiscipled folks. But we use those bridges to travel with the gospel. And he pointed out that he would not want to travel a bridge that was not intentionally built. You know, I'm thankful that there are people who intentionally built those bridges across the Tennessee. And that they come by, even though it's a pain, when it's doing the repairs and checking it out and it slows everything down. I'm thankful, aren't you, that they're making sure it's safe to travel. Intentionality. Well, friends, are we being intentional about building bridges through which we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Here's the question. Who are those outside the church that you are intentionally building a relationship with? Who are those in your neighborhood, in your work associations, in your school classes, in your leisure activities that you're intentionally building a relationship with in order to share the gospel? Bob was a veterinarian who also enjoyed antique cars. He had several of them at different stages of repair that he's working on. He had one roadster of a long time ago that he had repaired and put in the Great American Race. If you're not aware of that, I didn't realize it, but every year there's a race from Anaheim and Disney there to the Disney in Florida of these old antique cars. And he got involved in that. And he got a young man involved with him who had moved to the Huntsville area, made his way to the antique club in Huntsville and built a relationship with Bob. And Bob invited Wayne to come worship with him. And when he learned that Wayne was coming, he called Gina and myself and a couple other families to come over for a Sunday lunch. Oh, and bring some stuff to pitch together. He was real good at bringing all of us together in that kind of way and with new folks. And we built a relationship with Wayne, and he learned that Wayne liked music, so I invited him to sing the choir. This was before contemporary worship was ever thought of in traditional churches. And Wayne came to faith in Jesus Christ. I can remember him walking out of the choir and coming down the altar and accepting Christ as his Lord and Savior because of a relationship. And Wayne still had a relationship back in the Midwest where he moved from and went back to marry Kim and brought her to the Huntsville Hazel Green area. And she began to grow in Christ. And today, she's the associate pastor at Hazel Green, having served there for over 15 years, maybe over 20 years now. I'm not exactly certain when she was appointed there. But it all started because of an intentional relationship, of seeing someone new who needed to know Jesus, and taking an everyday activity and using that to be salt and light. You see, being light and salt takes intentionality. It takes intentionality. I was stopped the other day when I was in line at Jack's, and you know that's one of my intentionality places. Trying to build relationships. Yes, I do like food, and I like a biscuit, but part of it is just because of relationships. The one behind me was my neighbor, and he said, "Man, I kind of feel for you at times, because that group of guys I sit with can be mighty loud, and they don't always speak nicely. And when you're and Gina sitting there, I just kind of feel for you of what you hear. And I said, honey, I'm here in order to try to make a difference, because every one of them know I'm a preacher. And when there's been tough times in their lives, every one of them have asked me to pray for them. They know they've got someone, and they know they have someone who's also spoken to them sometimes when I felt like they were getting a little out of hand in the way they were supposedly joking, but not taking as joking for some of the staff there. And I said, I just see that as a way for me to try to be an instrument there. It's intentional. It's intentional. And we need those relationships where we're being intentional. But I need to bring this down, so I got a couple more things. Here's the next one. Being light and salt means we live the values of Christ. You see, that's salt that's lost its saltness if we are not living the values. And it's interesting, when Jesus taught this sermon, He didn't share the Beatitudes and then later on share the other part of it. We put it as a teaching there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the opening part of that talks about the values. Listen to it. It's what we call the Beatitudes. Then He began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The true blessedness is when we live the values of Christ. And His values are purity. His values are righteousness, of mercy, of grace. These values that are mentioned there are what are to be the characteristics of those who follow Him. And so if we're going to be salt and light, because that's what follows, Jesus is saying, we got to live those values. We got to live those characteristics for the world to see. One author put it this way: so seasoning and shining isn't only about the message we declare with our lips. It's about how we go about our lives. Lifestyle is the emphasis here. It's not just going around trying to tell people about Jesus. We got to have the right to tell them by our lifestyle. A preacher shared an email that he received from a young lady. A young lady who, as a young adult, rebelled and left town and left her family. And then realized, kind of like the prodigal, that life was better back home. And she came back home, got back connected to Christ and His church, and went back to an old job, which was a waitress at a restaurant. And one day, they were real busy, and she took some of the plates off and went back to the kitchen and found them just swamped. And so she jumped in and helped the dishwasher and helped clean some dishes and put them up. And the dishwasher made the comment to her, "This wasn't your job." And she said, "I didn't do it because it's my job. I did it because you needed help. And I did it because of the Lord." And said, "I've noticed something different about you, because everybody else, when they come back in the kitchen, all they do is complain. Or complain about what we're not doing, or complain about the ones that they're having to take care of. And you don't complain. You're just always offering a helping hand and serve." And she said to him, "Do you know that saying, 'The joy of the Lord is my strength'?" And she said, "No, I don't know about it. Where's it come from?" She said, "It comes from the Bible. And that's the reason I try to be what I am, because my joy comes from my Lord." And she began to share some of her testimony. And he said, "Well, I've been thinking I need to reconnect to faith, but I don't know anything about this gospel that you're talking about. And she said, well, can we meet afterwards? And I'll be happy to share with you. What gave her the right to share? It was the lifestyle. They saw something different in her. So I ask you today, do those you work with, those you go to school with, those around you see something different in you? So they recognize Jesus. It's about a lifestyle that gives you the opportunity to speak. Which brings me to ask this question, or make this statement. How we live our daily life is part of being salt and light. It's not just learning the words. It's learning how we live our daily lives. So I'll bring to this last statement. Those who are truly experience Jesus will help others experience Jesus. Those who have truly experienced Jesus will help others. Look again at the passage. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand. And it gave light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You see, when we experience Jesus, we want to bring glory to Him. We want to let the world know. When we experience Jesus, can you remember when you got engaged, those of you who are married? Did you kind of keep it quiet? I saw some of you post it. You wanted everybody to know. Back when Gina and I got engaged, there wasn't any social media. There weren't any cell phones. We went into our own dorms and got on a payphone and passed the word around. Because good news had happened. We wanted people to know. And I knew I only had to make one call. When I called Mom here in Cherokee, everybody in the Shoals area who knew me soon knew it. You know, the phone line from Cherokee to all the family was busy for a while. And the same thing happens when our girls were born. I just made a call, and that good news is for sharing. When we experience it, that's what he's talking about. When we've experienced the taste of the gospel, when the atmosphere of his light changes our lives, then we want to share it with others so that we become the taste and the atmosphere. So here's the question. If Tuscumbia First United Methodist Church closed its doors tomorrow, would the majority of the Shoals area even notice? It all depends on you and me and what kind of light and salt we're being. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word and the power of your word in our lives. Make us faithful. Those areas that we need to reexamine in our own lives so that we become what you need us to be and want us to be, reveal them to us so that we might be your salt and light in our everyday lives to others. In Jesus' name, amen.